See all of you also. I've been asked to teach on a very important subject. It is very simple, but it is very important as far as our salvation is concerned. I was asked to speak on the topic that we have noted on the board here. It is found in Matthew 9, verse 13. I desire mercy, said Jesus to the Pharisees, not sacrifice. Now, this was taken from this Hosea 6 and 6. What I'll do this morning is I'll build my remarks around these three readings and texts. And then also look at this Hosea 6, 6. So that's really the basic of my lesson. But I must tell you what was asked of me along with this topic. I have to answer five questions on the basis of I desire mercy and not sacrifice. So here was what was asked of me. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, Matthew 9:13, number one, A. Are there times when men can break the letter of the law and still keep the spirit of the law? Number two, is there such a thing as the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law? Number three, and this has three questions to go with it, and it is based on 2 Chronicles 30, verse 18, eating the Passover contrary to the law. That's what it says, they ate it contrary to the law. Here are the three questions. Did Judah break the Old Testament law? Did Israel break the Old Testament law when they ate the Passover contrary to the law? Number two. I'll give that 2 Chronicles 30:18. Does this passage teach that on occasions we do not have to worry about the letter of the law? Number three, does the Bible truly teach? I'm doing something opposite. Does the Bible truly teach the concept of the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law? So it is a simple subject, but these are simple questions. Now what I will do as far as my lesson, I will briefly define these two words, mercy and sacrifice, more or less define the proposition. And then I will make brief comments concerning Matthew 9:9-13, Matthew 12:1-8, and Matthew 23:23. Now all of these readings will have to do with the Pharisees, Jesus, and mercy. And then, on the basis of these, answers, what I say about these and this, I will answer those five questions that I just read. Now, the last thing I will do as far as this lesson is give a comment about the whole subject. So that will just show you how we're approaching this. Now we start with mercy and sacrifice. We know that every word has a basic meaning. We can use it in various ways, and we also know that the text and context determines how a word is being used. Now, when it comes to the word mercy, Thayer defines it kindness or goodwill toward the miserable and afflicted, joined with a desire to relieve them. Well, it's a little heavy, the definition. But then he says, under comments, of men toward men. And he gives Matthew 9:13, Matthew 12, verse 7, and Matthew 23:23, our key text. But I might remind you that sometimes the word is, mercy is translated compassion. And I rather like the word because it puts some heart into what is being said. Now, when it comes to sacrifice, remember that Jesus was talking to Jews. And the word sacrifice involves a victim. Under the old law, they offered victims, animal sacrifices. Sometimes the poor were allowed to do it other ways. So, and we read about sacrifice for sin often in the book of Hebrews. So literally, it was the offering of a victim. Now, when it comes to Christians, it is used metaphorically. Jesus, when he said, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice," we present our bodies a living sacrifice. We're not victims in the sense of offering an animal. And we know about that in Romans 12 and 1. And Peter said, we offer spiritual sacrifices. So I don't need to spend time on telling you what a metaphor is. We use that term quite a bit. It is a common figure of speech. And if you look it up, it is a figure of speech in which a word or phrase literally denoting one kind of object or idea is used in place of another to suggest a likeness or analogy between them. That's right out in the dictionary. But if you look at the English handbook, it's a little simpler. A metaphor is implied comparison. So we know what it is. We use it probably in nearly everything we say. Now, I want to say just a word, too, in these introductory remarks about God. The Bible said that God, who is rich in mercy. Now, the God we serve, the God we believe in, is rich in mercy. And he proves it. For this verse says, he is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Sort of puts mercy in perspective. And he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. We should know where that is. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, John 3, 16. Now, of us, Jesus said this right off in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And that gets pretty serious. If we expect mercy, we better learn what mercy is. Then James made this remarkable statement in James 2, 13. He shall have judgment without mercy, that is, showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. In other words, when it comes to the judgment, if we have shown mercy, we can, as it were, laugh at judgment. Now, let me read these texts and make comments on them. I've sort of identified the subject. Here's what the Bible says in Matthew 9:9-13. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. This is New King James. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, this all has to do with the Pharisees and Jesus and mercy. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well," this is a proverb, "have no need of a physician, but those who are sick," that's obvious. "Now go." Now, this is where we enter it. "Now go and learn what this means. I desire," this is what we go and learn, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." Now, just before this particular reading, in the first verses of Matthew there, 9, Jesus, Matthew records a miracle that Jesus performed. I won't read, but I'll just allude to it. He healed a paralytic. Now, when it was all said and done, it ended up as saying, This was a miracle, and we know what miracles do. And it ends at the same, showing the reason for the miracle on that occasion. It shows the power that Jesus, or the Son of God, has, quote, power on earth to forgive sins. Now, in the very next verse, he was eating with these publicans, and they were sinners according to the Pharisees. But what they did not realize, that they also were sinners. And there are so many verses that we can quote from the old law that Paul used in Romans 3 and other places that begin with, there is none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners, and we all need salvation. In Matthew 1:21, Jesus came to save us. He was called Jesus because he came to save us from our sins. That's what it's all about. So, it is in connection with this, and in our study today, that Jesus said to the Pharisees, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And he advised the Pharisees, you go and learn what this means. Now, as far as the Pharisees themselves, they didn't consider themselves sinners. It was easy to look over the fence at the other guy, but they did not consider themselves sinners. They considered themselves righteous and despised others, is what it says in Matthew 5:20. Luke 8:5. They had no genuine feeling for sinners. And it seems that they had forgotten what I just mentioned, what the prophet said about all of us. There is none righteous. Got to get that in our heart. No, not one. Now, no one is, no one is refused salvation. That is, no one who has faith in Jesus and will obey the gospel. And there's some very important readings on this. What happens to those that refuse to obey the gospel, such as 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, but go on. Now we read in Matthew 12, we're now going to the second reading. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry, and he began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees, they're always a key group, saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. And he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat. That is, it was not under ordinary circumstances. This is where mercy comes in. Nor for those who were with him, but only the priests. For Jesus said, have you not read in the law, Mosaic law, that on the Sabbath day, the priests in the temple profaned the Sabbath. They worked hard every day serving the people. And that is, under ordinary circumstances, they could work on the Sabbath in our claims. Yet I say unto you, so the Lord said, that in this place is one greater than the temple, referring to himself. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So in all of those cases, they were guiltless. They did not do anything lawless. They were not violating the law. And it was all because of mercy. They were not violating the law. Now, in the first case, Jesus said, you go and learn what it means. In the second case, if you had known what this means. He had warned them in 9, and in 12, he said, I have warned you, and you still don't know what it means. Now, our third reading. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin. That's good. That's tithe. and have neglected the weighty matters of the law. That's what it says. But what is the weightier matters of the law? They get 10%, and that was right. The weightier matters are justice, mercy, and faithfulness. That's what he said, Jesus said. These ought you have to have done, and not to leave the others undone. Now, if I start my lesson right here, it's all explained. Jesus never one time advised anyone not to do what is written. But we need to understand, there are what Jesus called weightier matters. Again, this is a metaphor. Now, a weightier matter, if you look it up in the lexicon, the word weight means heavy, the heavy things. We know the difference between something heavy and light. Now, in the law, and this is where the subject has to be looked at carefully, but in the law, some matters, this is Jesus' word, matters, some matters are more important than other matters. But every matter is important. But somehow we have to understand, and that's what Jesus is telling these Pharisees, there are some matters more important, such as justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Now here's what the lexicons would say. Weighty, literally heavy things. That is, Peter would say, of great moment. Very important. Bauer says, weighty, important. The more important provisions of the law. Matthew 23, that text. The more important matters of the law. Well, what's more important than tithing? Well, there's a lot. And this is, I suppose you would say, the difficulty of my lesson. Let's look at now the verse that Jesus quoted from the old law is Hosea 6:6. So let's look at the whole verse. He gave a clause. And the Pharisees' movement is set. But what it says, the whole verse, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and what is even more important, because this is it will be done if you do this, and the knowledge of God more than burnt sacrifice. Now that's the New King James. I noticed in the English Standard Version, it translated as a little bit different. And I'm not saying better, but it says, I desire mercy. Instead of mercy, it says, I desire steadfast love. Steadfast love. And not sacrifice. The knowledge of God rather than burnt sacrifices. It does have a footnote to say the word is mercy. So with that said, I need to make a little comment about Hosea. Now, Hosea wrote a little over 700 years before Christ. And why did Jesus refer to this quotation? Well, Hosea, just let me make a quick comment. Hosea, the word Hosea means salvation. It's a proper name, but it means salvation. And when it refers to God, it is Yahweh is salvation. Now, at the time that this was written, Israel, we're not talking about the 12 tribes, the 10 tribes, the kingdom of Israel had drifted so far into sin that they were not in coming under repentance. No matter what God did, how many prophecies sinned, or anything else, they would not repent. And beginning with Jeroboam, back in 931 B.C., when the kingdom began, up until the time it was destroyed by the Assyrians in 722, they only got worse, ending with Ahab. So God told them through this prophet that if you don't repent, you are finished. He gave them the chance. Now it also shows something else. It shows us the patience of God. There was something mentioned in this study about, well, God didn't do it immediately, so maybe he forgot about it. God is a very patient God. I want to remind you. He waited over 200 years to destroy them as a nation. Oh, they give it from 931 to 722. And at that time, the kingdom ended. And I can't dwell on this, but if you want to study something very important, you study the book of Hosea, that is about salvation. God is a kind God, even merciful. And I will lead to some scriptures, but I have to hurry a lot. Now, what I wish to emphasize in this lesson, that inherent, this is one of my important points, that inherent, or as an essential characteristic of the commandments of God, is mercy. Another one of them. One of the essential characteristics of the commandments of God, and I will use the word all commandments of God, but some don't like that word, but of the commandments of God is mercy, or steadfast love. Now, when mercy is applied to God, it involves love, sincerity, and faithfulness. When it is applied to man, it falls under the heading of compassion. And mercy, if mercy falls into its proper place in our lives, everything that we can think of, everything else, will also fall into place. That's how important it is. These are commands that Jesus mentions, this justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And I desire mercy, not sacrifice. These are commands to be obeyed. So I want to, with that said, answer the five questions on the basis of what I've said. And some of this will reappear. Now the first question that I read this morning is this. Are there times when men can break the letter of the law and still keep the spirit of the law? And we know the answer is no. You can't leave because they're not two different entities. Now, when I first started studying this, I would find people that thought we were talking about two different things that go together. No, you can't break the letter of the law and still keep the spirit of the law. Now, when one honors the spirit of any law, I want to say something here that is pretty important. One is obeying that law lawfully. Now, we read in 1 Timothy 1, verse 8. Now, listen. Now, we know that the law, Mosaic law in this case, we know it is good. What's the rest of it? If one, a man uses it lawfully. Use the law lawfully. That's what it says. And if you look at your NIV, if you use it properly. Now, the Pharisees used it, and they kept it as far as what was written, but they weren't using it lawfully. And that will also apply to us. But we also learn, for instance, in 2 Timothy 2:5, if a man also strive for mastery, talking about Christians, he is a crown except he strive lawfully. Now, as we have noticed, Jesus gave several Old Testament examples having to do with using the law lawfully. I didn't read it, but in Luke 14:1-5, if one's ox fell into a pit on the Sabbath, he could pull it out immediately. I don't have time to explain about ox. But they get pretty big. A good-sized ox is more than 2,000 pounds. And this pit, I don't know how deep it was, but it's going to take some work to get the thing out. I'll tell you that much for sure. And I can tell you about animals in the pit, but we don't have time to talk about that. But he got it out immediately, but he didn't pull a 2,000-pound ox out too easy. if you know anything about bulls. Now, the disciples rubbing out grain with their hands from another man's field was lawful to begin with. Deuteronomy 23:23, they could do that and not violate the Sabbath. And then David, eating the showbread, it was not lawful according to the old law under ordinary circumstances. But what David did he was innocent of breaking the law. And whereas Jesus said to the Pharisees, and taking up for David, you have condemned the guiltless. But he did eat that showbread. Now Jesus himself said, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath. And to say it another way, it is lawful to work on the Sabbath under some circumstances. He also said in John 7:22-23, judge not according to appearance, and be careful when we make these spiritual decisions, but judge with righteous judgment, not mere appearance. So that's question number one. Number two, is there such a thing as the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law? I've already said no. There's no such thing. They go together. There's not two entities here. The letter of the law and the spirit of the law are never, it said, is there such a thing as the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law? Now, if you look it up in the dictionary, versus means against. The law is never, the spirit of the law and the letter of the law are never against one another. They never contradict one another. Now, the letter of the law refers to what is written concerning any commandment in the Bible, the Word of God. The spirit of the law has to do with what? The purpose, the intent, the objective. The purpose, the intent, and objective. And sincerely keeping it from the heart. Now, I come to number three. It has three questions. In 2 Chronicles 30 verse 18, it had to do with eating the Passover contrary to the law. Now, if we go back and study that, I believe the 10 northern tribes had been destroyed at that time. It's a transition in history. But it had been also at that time, Hezekiah was a good king in Israel, a Jew, the southern tribe, Now, they had neglected Hezekiah's father. He was completely wicked. But Hezekiah was a good king, and they started keeping the Sabbath again. I'm just truncating this. And he decided that they would invite all of the Israelites from those 10 tribes that the kingdom was destroyed, but they'd invite them all. The Israelites still had the tribal background. And so he did. Well, now here's what it says, 2 Chronicles 30, verse 18. For a multitude of the people, many of them from Ephraim, this is the northern tribe, many of them from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. They ate the Passover contrary to what was written. That's what I'm supposed to be commenting on. They ate it. They didn't eat it properly. They ate it not properly. Now, I gave a little of the background, but these four tribes, how did they correct this sin? Now, I think this is what we need to know. It was wrong. How did they correct it? Well, I read 2 Chronicles 30:18-20. But Hezekiah prayed for them, and no doubt others also. He was a good man. But Hezekiah prayed for them, king of Judah, saying, may the good Lord provide atonement for everyone. Who prepares his heart to seek the Lord of his father, the Lord God of his father. Though he is not cleansed, this was the problem. according to the purification of the sanctuary, and the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed his people. That's what we do if we do wrong or sin. We pray. James 5:16. Now, you may say, well, how does this in any way apply to the church? Well, obviously, the Lord's Supper has to be eaten correctly. Or we can say according to what is written in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 6. So it has to be according to what is written, in the right place, in the right manner, on the right day. But you know, we can do all of that because it is according to what is written. But it also says in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 to 29, that in order to eat it correctly, we have to do it worthy, in a worthy manner, discerning the body and blood of the Lord. Here's what the Bible says. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, you can do it according to what is written, but in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now I come to the second question under this last heading. The first was, did Judah or Israel, is the proper word, break the Old Testament law when it ate the Passover contrary to the law? It said, yes, they broke. And they made it right through Hezekiah's prayer. Now the second question, does the passage, this passage, 2 Chronicles 30:18, I'm still on, teach that on occasion we do not have to worry about the letter of the law? Well, we can answer that fact. The answer is no. We better worry about the letter of the law. And actually, now this will bring us back to this here that I haven't commented on, and it will reappear here in a minute. So the answer is no. And I have, this is my judgment, inherent within the commandments of God, I mentioned it earlier, is found mercy. And so we keep the commandments, but we don't do it without this mercy. Mercy and keeping the commandments of God are not two opposing entities. Together they make a law lawful and complete. And also I have a little comment here. But a commandment without mercy can be cruel. Have you ever thought of that? A commandment without mercy and justice and faithfulness, but it can be cruel. You just think about some of the commandments. And the Pharisees, Jesus said this, I have it hurried here. But Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 23, our key chapter, he told his disciples, all that they say, they said in Moses' seed, that's what he said. All that they say, do. Yes, you do it. He's not telling them not to keep the Mosaic law. They do not act as their words, for they say and do not. They're not doing those commandments personally themselves. And it had to do with what he said in verse 23. They were tithing. And this judgment, mercy, and faith fits in with this. He said, you tithe, men and his covenant. You have ignored the weightier matters of the law. Now, there was nothing wrong with tithing. They had the tithe. The weightier matters. These, and here's the answer to the whole lesson. These ought you to have done, not to leave the other undone. The weightier matters are first. But he's not saying that you don't have to tithe. He said, these do justice, mercy, and faithfulness. But don't leave the other undone. I'm not telling you that. Now, in this verse, notice it again. Hosea 6:6. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and a knowledge of God more than that. It starts with the knowledge of God. And we have a true knowledge of God, we will understand what mercy and justice and faithfulness, justice, faithfulness, and all are all about. Well, that more than, but he didn't say I don't desire this, because that was part of the law. I desire steadfast love. Now this puts God more into the picture. God wants steadfast love. Please, he said, and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than or more than burnt sacrifices. Now here are my 10 concluding points. First of all, you know, Jesus said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, but he also said, learn what this means. Number one. My comment is, mercy never involves breaking a commandment of God. So you can just forget that. Whatever he commanded, we do. Never involves breaking a commandment. And as far as the knowledge of God is concerned, if you go and read the book of Hosea, it says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. It's a gimmick. That you should be no priest to me. And he said, I will also forgive your children. There is no way that the future of the church is possible without us right here having a knowledge of God and passing it on to the next generation. Number two of my comments. Mercy is inherent or an essential characteristic of the commandments of God. However, we have learned that justice, mercy, and faithfulness are more important, or the more important ingredients of any commandment of God. Now, we cannot keep the commandment of God of practicing mercy only any more than we can have faith without works, or a living body without a spirit. James 2 and also John 4:24, we serve God as a spirit and in truth. Now, my third comment. Conversely, it is impossible to successfully keep the commandment of God and at the same time ignore mercy. It's not mercy only, but we can't ignore it going the other direction. As Jesus said, these are you who have done and not to leave the others undone. Number four. A law of God is good. This is a recapitulation. If a man uses it, law. Every commandment of God is good. This is true, I'm telling you, of every commandment of God. God didn't give anything less than a good commandment. And if you hear someone denigrate a commandment, you have a big misunderstanding. But it is only good if you use it lawfully, whether you're talking about the Old or New Testament, that was true of both. In Romans 7, 11 and 12, Paul said of the Mosaic law, it is good. It talks of justice, mercy, and so on. But the law was good, and he also said it was spiritual, talking about the old law. And certainly that is true of the new. But it is only good if you use it lawfully. Jesus said of the Sabbath, the English Standard Version, so it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath under certain circumstances. Number five, justice, mercy, and faithfulness take precedence more important than any other matter contained in the commandment. Now, where we have to learn is a commandment may have several matters, such as the one Jesus gave in Matthew 23:23. The commandment had to do with tithing, but in that same commandment, you may see the necessity of showing an act of mercy, and that comes before the tithing, as far as weightier matter. So there are some matters that are contained in a commandment that are more important to take precedence over others. But the conclusion was Hosea 4, verses 1 and 2. He said, there is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. But we're not 700 years before Christ. It could also apply to us sometimes, not us personally. But we have to think of it in that sense. He said there was no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. And what was the problem? By swearing and lying, killing and stealing, and committing adultery, they break all restraint. Hosea 4, 1 and 2. Now, this steadfast love that God desires, we have to have a recognition of God, God's authority, and it produces obedience. Now, the prophet Micah wrote it like this in Micah 6, 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? How am I going to do it? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? He has shown you, O man, he has shown you, us, O man, we'll say, what is good. And what does the Lord require? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Just what Jesus said in Matthew 23, 23. Number six, one cannot obey a commandment of God. Now this is somewhere in my thoughts. But one cannot obey a commandment of God in such a way as to make it impossible to obey another commandment of God. Now the Jews managed this pretty good in their traditions. They placed their property under an oath, and then they couldn't even use anything or do anything for their parents. They had pitted and produced a master and by their tradition to make it impossible to obey the commandments of God. Well, it doesn't work like that. And those that that's Matthew 15, 3 to 6 and Mark 7, 9 to 13. Now, I want to mention this, it won't take a second. Did you know when Jesus came to the dinner prepared for Mary, Martha, and so on? It was prepared for Jesus, and Judas Iscariot complained about the oil being poured on Jesus' feet. Well, you know, Jesus told Judas Iscariot, the poor you have with you all. Now, I know a man that several times this church on Sunday to go and give clothes and garments to the poor in Tulsa. But I want to tell you, there was something more important to the Lord's Supper. He could have done that as Jesus said to Judas, you go every day to feed the poor, but me, you have not only. Of God and also be in rebellion against God. This was demonstrated to the Pharisees in Jesus' days on earth. They thought they were pretty good, but they weren't obeying God. And last of all, one must keep the law long. This is an overriding point. You keep it long. And that includes justice, mercy, and faithfulness. That's the